So Rabbi Say Parsha Tetzave, Tovshin Sam of Zion. So we begin tonight with the Maor Inayim on Parsha Tetzave. And the Maor Inayim speaks about the idea of the Midos. That there are Midos of Hashem. The Gemara says that Mahu Rachum Afator Rachum, God is merciful, you be merciful. God is Chanun, God is Erech HaPayim. Tomorrow we'll say you'll give me the Sarachmim. God is patient, you be patient. So there are 13 attributes of mercy from Hashem. Hashem forgives, you be forgiving. Not easy. So he explains that the 13 Midos is not so much a description of God, but rather the 13 Midos represent godly energy which is available to us. In other words, to forgive is divine. To forgive and forget is divine. It's a great thing to forgive and forget. It wouldn't be possible to do those things if Hashem hadn't actually put into the Bria himself his attribute of forgiveness. If Hashem hadn't actually forgiven, it wouldn't be possible. But what Hashem puts into this world is called a midah, because Hashem only puts as much as we can take. If there be too much rachmanis in the world, too much divine rachmanis, it would be too much for us to accept. It's like you can't put electricity from Niagara Falls directly into a little radio in your house. There's too much electricity, it'll blow everything, it'll blow the fuses. It has to have there's the transmission cables, and you have to have the transformers to transform large amounts of electricity into smaller doses. So the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem puts exactly the amount into this world, and each person as much as we can handle. Not a bit more, not a bit less. And the way that a person can be his own transformer, so to speak, and transform the amount of divine energy into this world in the amount that's appropriate for him is by Limud HaTorah. Because Hashem is like a fire, and just like you can't touch a fire, and you can't even touch a pot that's on the fire unless you have a pot holder, the pot holder to touch the fire of Hashem is the Torah. The Torah. And he says that's the reason why this week's Parsha, Tetzaveh, starts off V'yata Tetzaveh. Really, it's a very strange beginning. It could have started off just plain Atot Tetzaveh. What's the Vav? V'yata Tetzaveh. Which is a very good question. Why does the Parsha start off V'yata Tetzaveh? The Parsha started off Atot Tetzaveh. What's the V? If you look inside the Chumash, it doesn't really make sense. Why does it start off V'yata Tetzaveh? What's the Vav for? What do you need the Vav for? So the Maor Inayim says that the Vav is the Ois of Hamshacha. The Vav, which looks like a pipe, is the straight letter. It is the letter of drawing down from Hashem's world down into this lowest world, from the highest world to the lowest world. So Mamshich, the energy of the Rabbi Shalom, the light of the Rabbi Shalom, the fire of the Rabbi Shalom, and V'ata Tetzaveh means that in this week's parasha, where Hashem's Shechina is going into the Mishkan and going into the Kahanim and going into the Begadim, as the Omar Elayim says again and again, the pipeline is the letter and the letters of the Torah. The letters of the Torah are where the Rabbanu Shel Olam, Samson himself, Hashem, puts his Kedusha into the letters of the Torah, and that's where it comes down from the highest world as Nimshach into this world, and that's why it starts with a Vav. Vav is the Vav of Hamshacha. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nivro. And he says that's the pshat we have in the beginning of the parasha. Shemen Zay is Zoch. Zoch is 27, and this represents the 27 letters of the Torah, the 22 regular letters, the 5 Sofiyos. This is they are the Amshacha to bring the light down to the Menorah as well. This is the what he says in this week's parasha. And the next week's parasha, which we'll learn next week in Mitzvah Shem, but he says that he brings down Shamati Mimoiri, that's the Mizrit Shemagit. If it's Moiri Abesht, it means the best. If he says Moiri Stam, it means the Mizrit Shemagit. So he says, I heard, Kolakeveyam Makam Utfilos Elekei Avram Bezroi. What that means is, Kaveh Makam Zilas, a person who establishes a permanent place for his davening, means a person who davens with das. He davens with full intent, his mind is fully present, he's not daydreaming while he's davening, and his intention is that the words he says in davening should fly to Shemayim and go to the highest place, to the Shirish, to the source of all letters, which is the mouth of Hashem. He says, if a person davens without das, ein oisir is devukim b'shurasham, rak nesharim ba'olam atachtoin, shu'olam agalgalam. If a person davens without using his brains, then instead of the letters going on a straight line, on the Vav express, from here to there, the letters go around in circles. And that's why this world is called the Olam HaGalgalim. This world is called the world of circles. We spin around in circles. That's why everything, all the planets, all the stars, and all the galaxies, everything's going around in circles. Because in this world, unless a person is mechavan himself to go out of this world, everything just goes round and round and round, and time goes round and round. This is the world of eagle. It's the Olam HaGalgalim. The only way to break out of this world of circles and spinning around and around is by having kavana that I want my words to be kaveh amokam. I aim my words to go to the higher places, to get out of this world. So that's what the Moran Ayim said for this week. And now, my friends, we have the Purim treat. The Purim treat is number 3, we're learning the 3rd Kedusha of the Kedusha Levi. So, last week we learned about Matan's Levyainim. And the first week we learned about the Megillah itself. And now, the 3rd week here, the 3rd Kedusha, there's still a 4th Kedusha to go. And the 3rd Kedusha is about what is the meaning of Mishloach Manos. What is Mishloach Manos? The 4th Kedusha speaks about the Mishnah Purim Ad L'Yoda, but we'll try to tackle the 3rd Kedusha. So he says, Atan Nevar HaSoy Shal Mishloach Manos Yish L'Reyeh. And this is Mamish Ga'oinus. And again, I'll say it over to you, but I can only synopsize. You have to read it inside to appreciate the full greatness of the Kedusha's Levi here. It's awesome. Everything he says is awesome. So he says like this. Iker Brias Oilam Avur Lishasheya Bayumasoi. The reason why Hashem created the world was so that we should give pleasure to the awesome one, the Rabbi Shalom. And whenever I daven, and right now we're learning, we have to have in Zinnan, what's my kavanah right now, why are you here tonight? It's late at night, it's 10:30, our kavanah is one thing only, to give pleasure to the Rabbi Shalom. Like the Gemara says in Zvachim, it says, Hashem Shisha Dvarim, Azevach Nizbach, a carbon is brought for six reasons. Amongst them are, L'shem Reyach, and L'shem Nichoyach. Reyach Nichoyach L'Hashem, which means, says Rashi, Nichoyach L'Hashem Nachas. Shenachas Ruach, L'fanav Shomer, V'nasa Ritzoynek. Hashem has Nachas, when He tells us to do something, we do it. And that's the reason I'm bringing a carbon, to make Hashem happy. Is that what you have in mind when you have Yidavan learn? To make Hashem happy? Were yourself happy? Were your wife happy? Were your rabbi happy? Who are you making happy? The rabbi happy. No good. You have to make Hashem happy. And he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Aleph. Sois osis b'Hashem. It's one of the haftarahs of the Shev Nechemta. Sois osis b'Hashem ki yivishani big the yesha. What does it mean? Sois osis b'Hashem. I rejoice and I make rejoicing b'Hashem. Meaning that sois, I'm happy because osis b'Hashem. Because I make Hashem happy. The only thing that makes me happy is not to win the lottery, not to get married, not to have children, not to publish books, not to build yeshivas. I am happy to give Hashem joy. That's it. Everything else is just ways to give Him joy. But sois osis b'Hashem. My joy is to make Hashem happy. That is the tachas habriya. And this is a chi of al adam. This is our obligation. It's not midas chasidus. This is not an extra. This is it. This is what it's all about. To give nachas to Rabbi Shalom. But if a person would say, who am I to give Hashem pleasure? I'm a nobody. Are you telling me Hashem has pleasure for me? Vaz binich says, the Kedusha Levi, the person who says that, he thinks he's being humble. But the truth is, he's not anonav, he's not humble. I would say, he's naita laminus, he's a heretic, he's a shegetz, he's not bikairus. Wow. Very sharp words of Kedusha Levi. I would say he's not being humble. He's denying the whole purpose of the Bria. The whole purpose of the Bria is to give pleasure to Baruch Hashem. If you say Hashem doesn't care about me, I'm not important enough for Him, I'm a nobody, you're a kaifer. Because God doesn't make junk. And He made you as a nachas machine for Him. Is that okay? Tzom Alekim. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying Tzom Alekim. He's saying Simcha Alekim. Hashem made us to make Him happy. And but Ikra Nachas Ruach Bnei Yisrael, when the Isaac B'Torah and Mekayim Mitzvahs, that's his Nachas Ruach. And he says, and it's really only with Yidden. You should know that Hashem's Nachas is when Yidden give Him Nachas. We're His children. Anything less than Jews doesn't give Him Nachas. You give Him Nachas. You. When you do, you're learning right now, listening to the Torah, you give me Hashem Nachas. That's why you were created. That's what you have to do. People think they have to go build a big yeshiva, finish shas, write books, give money. You have to, if you give Nachas to Rabbi Shalom, a person Nebuch is sick, and he's on his deathbed, and the doctor says, take another spoonful of medicine, you live a little longer. And he says, I'm doing it to give Nachas Ruach to the Rabbi Shalom, because Hashem wants me to live longer. That is purpose in life. He's a great person. And it says, Ben Chacham Yismachov, Mishlei Perek Yud, a wise son makes his father happy. And we're called Ban Lamakim. And it says, Yisrael Mefaras Nevi'im Shebishamayim, Parnasas Lashon Tainim, we give pleasure to Hashem. There's a famous story about Rav Levi Yitzchak Taka, where where there was one of the famous stories. I was waiting to start Kol Nidre. He was waiting and waiting. And he finally started. And after those few, that's what happened. So they called the lady out there, Zisnoshim, after the davening. They asked the lady, where were you before? What happened? So she said that what happened was that she was altamoid. She's an old maid, and she wasn't married for a long time. In fact, she went to her house. She wasn't in shul anymore. They went to her house. The lady just went to her house. And old maid, she finally got married. And she finally had a child, she had a baby. And here she was in a quandary. Since she was an old maid, she was used to already going to shul all the time in Yom Kippur. She had no children for many years. And there was nothing holding her home. And here now, Baruch Hashem, she has a baby, a little baby, but she wants to go to shul. There's no babysitters. All the yidden are going away. She's not going to leave with a shiksa. So she doesn't know what to do. So here's a little baby. And here's the shul. And what should she do? So the baby was sleeping. So you think, you know what? The baby's sleeping so nicely. I'll just run over to the shul. And I'll just grab Kol Nidre. I'll run right back home. It's only 5-10 minutes. And the shul's not so far. And the baby's sleeping. So she gets the shul before Kol Nidre. And she's very happy with herself. But suddenly she's plagued with all kinds of fears. Oy vey, maybe my baby got up. After all, maybe the baby is crying. Maybe the baby is going to be shaking all around the crib. Maybe she's going to knock over the crib. And maybe she's going to fall out of the crib. Chas Shalom, she'll fall on the floor. Maybe the cat will come and bite her. And her mind, she says to the lady, it's like, my mind, I was terrified. What's going to happen with my child? So before davening even started, I just ran quickly back home to see if my baby's okay. I run to the house, I'm afraid to see the worst of the cats eating on my baby. I come in, my little baby is still sleeping peacefully, nicely, calmly, better than before. And I was so relieved. I said, Rabbi Shalom, thank you for watching over my baby. Thank you for giving my baby. Thank you for getting me married. Hashem, how can I thank you? How can I thank you? What can I thank you with? Hashem, all I can give you is a bracha. My bracha to you is, Rabbi Shalom, that just like you have given me so much nachas of my little baby, that's how much nachas you should have for your children, Klal Yisrael. When she said that, all the gates of heaven opened up. So, that's the biggest thing. We want to give Hashem nachas. If children want to give their parents nachas, we should want to give nachas to Rabbi Shalom. And he says, that's pshat in the piyut, on Yom Kippur. We say, in the Musaf, we say, Asher Yimoscha, Aleim. And we say, Vratzi Soshevach, Meglu Megush. Hashem, you wanted praise from people made out of a chunk of mud. Mechasei Reidas. You want praises from people who have no brains. Vehuiti Losecha. And this is your praise. The praise of Hashem is that even though we are glume gush, we come from a chunk of mud, we're made of dust, and even though we have no das, this is Dafka Hashem's praise. He wants our praises, and he gives him nachas, and it's tainuk. And he says, he brings the Talmud Dvarah, he brings this down, the Talmud Dvarah elaborates on this, that Hashem has so much nachas from Klal Yisrael that this is the biggest tithing he has. And the Gemara says, "Moi Katan after Zion, Tzadik Moi Shabiris Hashem." Hashem says, "Who rules over me at Tzadik? Shakodesh Baruch Goyz Exer the Tzadik Mevatlet." Hashem loves it. Hashem loves it when there's a Tzadik who's a Tzadik and believes in Hashem so much That even there's a big zera, the tzaddik believes that if he davens, Hashem will mevat le zera, gives Hashem a lot of pleasure. This is what it's all about. He says, now we understand pshat in a very shver Gemara in Sanhedrin, which definitely requires explanation. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that tzaddik beis and beis, v'keish nevuchadnetzar leimer shiris v'shebochais, shiaganu shirais v'tishbochas shel David HaMelech, v'malach v'satra alpit. Nebuchadnezzar, after he saw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being thrown into the furnace, and they emerged unscathed, he wanted to say songs of praise to Hashem. He started even saying songs that would disgrace the songs of David HaMelech. When Amal came down, slapped him in the face and stopped him. So of course the two obvious questions are, how could it be that Nebuchadnezzar could say things that are bigger than the Tilm of David HaMelech? And number two, if he's going to say such great things, why stop him? It's not fair. It's a low fair. Let him continue. He explains that the Pshat Zazai, that this cloud that Tzadik Moshe B'Yiras Elokim, that a Tzadik Mevat L'Gzeris of the Ribbono Shel Olam, L'Choyra, that is only when we're chaviv to Ribbono Shel Olam like a child. When our relationship with Hashem is very open, and Hashem acts to us like a father, and we act to Hashem like a child, then we have the power, like a little child begs his father for a favor. The father's not going to give in. Your little girl's going to ask you for something, you're not going to give in to her? Of course you will. The mush melts your heart. Right? Can't say no. So that's only as long as you're holding the baby in your arms. And she's right there, and you're right there. And you're showing open love to her. She's showing open love to you. So you'll do anything she wants. But Nebuchadnezzar, the Rasha, said, you know, that's only in good times. But I'm Nebuchadnezzar. And I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And I put the Yidden in the Gullus. And therefore, this rule that God loves his children and gets big nachas from them, and this rule that he'll do anything they want and he gets pleasure from them, doesn't apply. And therefore, when he said, Shiris Dishbachas to Hashem, not that he had nicer ones than David HaMelech, he was implying that as long as the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael and there's a Beis HaMikdash, then the Jews are talking to the sons of Hashem and they have this big power over him. And they give him nachas. But now that the Jews are in Golus and the house of the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, and who did it? Me. That must mean that Hashem loves me more than the Jews. So my praises will overshadow the praises of Dov. Not that I'm going to say better than Tilim. It means to say that it must be that God wants to hear from me more than he wants to hear from the Jews. But Raya, God allowed me to destroy the Beis HaMikdash of the Jews. And the Levim don't sing songs anymore. And the Nasim Munk doesn't do Avod anymore. So it must be God doesn't care about them. Who's he like? Me. I destroyed it. So I'm going to say songs that I'll become the new son of God. That's the pshat.
Did you say that there's one achilles when they come out of the Kishon?
What? Yeah. But that's what he figured. They're in Golas, but he's saying, now the time has come. I destroyed the base of Megiddo, the Jews in Golas, such a Golas, and it's time, and I, okay, God did this miracle over here, but that's exactly the point. I want to show that God really does not care. That's the point. I want to show that God doesn't really care about them. He might make a random miracle for them that they were saved, but I want to show that since I conquered the Jews, and even these people who went into the furnace are under my conquest, under my power, so therefore I am in charge and not the Jewish people. And we're never going to have the Beis HaMikdash again. We're not going to have Shiras Tishbachas from Levium. And that's the pshat. He wanted Megana the Shiras Tishbachas from David HaMelech. He wanted to make it that David no longer has the power of Tzadik Moshe B'Yiras Elokim. David and his Tehillim won't have the power anymore. Won't have the power. And he says, this is a good pshat now. In Pashim Pshat, in Tehillim, in Hallel, where David says, Lama Yomer Agoyim, Ayei Lehayim, V'lehayim B'Shamayim, Kol Shechofei Tzasa. But, Loi Ba'aretz. In Ba'aretz, Tzadik Miyachon Levat L'Gzeiro Yisav. In other words, David HaMelech is saying, why should the Goyim say, where's your God? And God, but the truth of the matter is, that really, God is everywhere. And God's in heaven, whatever he wants to do in heaven, he does. But that's only in heaven, says David. Because on earth, the tzaddikim can't tell God what to do. And that's exactly what he's trying. They say, Ayi Eloheim, where's their God? David HaMelech says, Loi lanu Hashem, loi lanu. Why should the guy say where is God? They don't know that even when we're not doing Ratzon Shel Hashem, and Hashem is in heaven, nevertheless, it looks in the Chanami, and there's a time when there's Hester upon him, there are Hester upon him times when God is in Shemayim, and he does what he wants. And it looks as if we have no koyach of the Rabbanu Shalom. But it'll come back. Hashem, why should you act that way? Why should you have Hester upon them where it looks as if you don't care about us anymore? We're not your sons anymore. So, Bekitzer, he says that Nebuchadnezzar was really wrong. Nebuchadnezzar thought that it's irrevocable. Once the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, once the Jews are in Galus, it's hopeless. We'll never be sons of Hashem. The Goyim took over, and if they took over, there's no chance of us getting back. That was wrong. Absolutely wrong. So now he says, now I'll explain you why, ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar suffered a terrible punishment. Not only did the Malach slap him in the face and have him stop singing songs of praise, he shouldn't arrogate to himself the position of a son, but, you know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar in the end? He became like a wild beast. For 7 years, he was walking on all four, he grew long hair, and for 7 years he was a chaya. He was a wild chaya, like some kind of a lion, living in the jungle. He wasn't a king for 7 years. He disappeared for 7 years. I don't know who took over for him. Maybe I'm not. But he was Ois king for 7 years. Why? Why did he become a chaya? So only the Kedush lady, this is such a kishron. He's such a genius of pshat. He says pshats like this. Because the Emes says, this is a long answer, I thought it was going quickly. He says, the Emes is that the Rabbanu Shalom b'chadash b'tuva b'choyim t'ama ma'is ha'bereishis. The Rabbanu Shalom is renewing the world every second. So the question is, as you're looking at me right now, you're a new person every second, every nanosecond. Your name's Menachem? You're a new Menachem. Now you're a super new Menachem. You're an ultra new Menachem. You're a super duper new Menachem. You're new every second. You're a modern Menachem. Every second, you're a new you. Because God has been mechadish the world every second. Only question is, why do you come back every second as the same person? Why don't you come back sometimes as a dog, a monkey, a zebra? You get a good giraffe. You have that giraffe look on you. Yeah, I think you make a good giraffe. So why, if Hashem is mechadish the world every second, he can mechadish you with something else. It'd be a lot more interesting. Poodle. Why are you coming back as a human being every second? Well, the answer is, for what the Gemara says, that call my sabracious bedmusan ledaiton uvitzavyan nivru. The Gemara says that everything that was created, Hashem asked them first, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a human being? Okay. But listen, Hashem told everybody about their whole life, what they're going to look like. You saw your face in the mirror. You said, I still want it. I want to be this person. Hashem showed you everything's going to happen to you, the good and the bad. You still say, I want it. So the mice, when you came down to this world, you wanted to be you your whole lifetime. Amanas came down to this world. You never meet Daitan. You wanted to be the same person. even though the Hashem is renewing the world every second, you want to stay who you are. You don't be something else. Oh. So.
A dog wants to be a dog?
Yeah.
Why a dog want to be a dog?
Why not? It's a dog's life. It's very nice. It's a nice Fido. Bones, food, dog house. Now, the Ekdish dog houses. They have dog psychiatrists now. It's a very good life. No, not a dog in the world. They have dog cafes where the men dogs meet the female. They're not joking. In Manhattan, they have doggy cafes where they can socialize. It's a wichtige Sache. Yeah. And in case you have some problems, there's a dog psychiatrist, the dog marriage therapist. It's nishkei vitz. Whatever you want, they go on vacation with the dogs, and they have dog clothing, and there's dog fashions, and there's air-conditioned kennels, and it's gewaltig. And gourmet meals for your dogs. Some people have chefs for their dogs to cook. No, there's people have chefs to cook gourmet meals, healthy gourmet meals for your dog.
Hotels.
What? Dog hotels, whatever you want. You're schwitzing and harfing, and the dog is in a hotel. And dog... Bar mitzvahs, kaddish for a dog. Bark mitzvahs, bark. Really? How old a dog has to be to have a bark mitzvah? 13 months?
Bark mitzvah.
Really? A bark mitzvah. Okay, no, there it is. So the kid says the dog wants to be a dog, the giraffe wants to be a giraffe. So he says, shout like this. He says, that we believe that we, Hashem cares about our rots. And listen to this tifavart. He says, we believe that Hashem cares about human beings, what we think and what we want. And we want, every one of us, Aaron Feynman wants to be Aaron Feynman his whole life. Do you want to turn to something else? If I could turn you now into Rabbi Yashiv, would you like to come to Rabbi Yashiv? You didn't want that. Before you were born, you said, I want to be Aaron Feynman from the day I'm born to the day I die. I don't want to be a Rabbi Yashiv. You want to be a Spinker Rebbe? No, you can't be a Spinker Rebbe either. You don't want to be a Spinker Rebbe. You want to be a Spinker Chassid. And Yecheskel Spitzer doesn't want to be the Square Rebbe. He wants to be Yecheskel Spitzer. Then anything else. You don't want to be anybody else. You don't want to be even Izzy, the mayor. You want to be Yecheskel. You don't want to be a different Spitzer. You want to be exactly what you are. And Hashem says, okay, if that's what you want, you get. Because I listen to human beings. Because I have nachas ruach my human beings. I love my human beings. They're very important to me. I listen to them. But Nebuchadnezzar said, Hashem doesn't care about anybody anymore. He says, since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, God doesn't care about the Jewish people. Maybe he'll come along caring about me, what I say. But Hashem says, no, I don't care what you say. I care about the Jewish people. And therefore, you, Nebuchadnezzar, Dafka, you're going to be punished. You're going to turn into a dog. You're going to turn into a lion, into a chaya. Because the only reason why human beings don't turn into chayas is because God cares about what human beings want. And everybody before they were born said, I want to remain a human being my entire life. And you, Nebuchadnezzar, also said you want to be Nebuchadnezzar the king your whole entire life. But now he's saying, no, that God doesn't care about what human beings think. And God doesn't care what you didn't want. And he doesn't care about me either, because God slapped me in the face. Because God doesn't care about us. Okay, so if God doesn't care about what we want, you'll become a chaya. Because the only reason why God keeps every other human being in the world being the same thing he was from beginning to end, because God does care what we think. But you think that God doesn't care what we think. And therefore, you can lose what you are. You can make chaya. That was the meaning of Kenegan Mita. Tif Ezachim. Bekitzer, he says, now, he says, this is the inyan of Mishloach Manois, Isha Reyehu. Because there was a big zardin against the Yidden that they should be destroyed. Mordechai of Esther knew that Tzadik Moshe B'Yiras Elokim, the Tzadik rules Hashem with Yiras Shemayim. So Mordechai davened, and he had Sak Vefer, he had Tanesim, Esther davened, the other good Jews davened, and we gave Nachas Ruah to the Rabbi Shalom, and with the Tfilas, we were misakin everything. Hashem listened to us. And Mordechai Esther, Taki, said, they made the tikkun that Nebuchadnezzar was in doubt about. Nebuchadnezzar's time was that God only cares about the Jewish people. and listens to them like a son, as long as they're in Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis Hamikdash is up. But l'chayr, when we're in Galus, when the Beis Hamikdash is charev, and we're in Galus, we're exiled from Hashem. Oy l'banu shegalim al shulchan aviyam. So we're like children, we're banished from the father's own table. So l'chayr Hashem doesn't listen to us then. No, Mordechai says, not true. We're going to prove to you that even in the worst time of Galus, even in the darkest time, even Hamek Zeris to the Noir Legans Klai Yisrael, Hashem still listens to us, no matter what, even in the Galus, in the deepest Galus, without a base, Hashem listens to us. And Hashem loves us. And we're going to give Nachas Ruach to the Rabbanu Shalom by davening to him. And when we do that, it'll be Mevatel Gzeir of Haman as our reward. So therefore, he says, that is the reason. He says, the Rabbanu Shalom is called Ish, Hashem Ish Mochama. We Klai Yisrael are called Reyim. We're called friends of the Rabbanu Shalom. We are called friends of God. We are Reyim. Hashem is Ish. We are His friends because we love Him. We want to give Him pleasure. So therefore he says, the Inim of Shalach Manas is to remember Mishloach Manas Ish L'Reyeo, that Hashem sent us a gift from the Ish, from the man, to us, Hashem's friend. Because really there was a chasima, it was sealed with clay that the Yidden should be destroyed. But because it's tzaddik Moshe shall be here, Selakim, Mordechai v'Esther with tzaddikim, the other Yidden with tzaddikim, and we overruled the Rabbi Shalom Sak, we overruled his decree, and it's over. But the Maises, and now the Tuesday says even deeper. He says, who gave Mordechai and Esther this idea, this thought, to go ahead and daven so shtark to Hashem? He says, even a thought to daven, a thought to learn, the thought to come to the shir tonight was a gift from the Rabbanu Shalom. Hashem sent it to you. That's where you came. It didn't come out of itself. Because you came last week, maybe Hashem sent you a gift this week, you should come again this week. And he says, if you realize that every good thought, the mashav of a tzaddik to daven, that itself is a gift from Hashem. Because a lot of people don't bother davening. They give up. Why is the tzaddik even davening? It's a gift from Hashem. Hashem put it in his mind. And therefore, when the tzaddik, he says, listen to this, when the tzaddik was davening to Hashem to destroy the gzeir of Haman, the desire to daven itself, the machshava to daven itself was a gift from Hashem. Because Hashem loves to hear from us. Because Hashem loves to hear from the tzaddik, he puts in the mind of the tzaddik to daven to him. So it comes out the whole Nes of Purim, which is based on the davening of Mordechai of Esther, wouldn't have happened if Hashem wouldn't have sent them a gift first. The gift was the inspiration of the daven. That says the gift. Since the Rabbanu Shalom, Machmas Goydel Shashua Shishuah Vareis Lusvarabam, who Shaleach B'machshavtam B'chashai, who behestel Lusvarabal Yisrael Shivad L'Gzeira, K'dei Shikra Al Shem HaTzadik. He gives a mashal of Dabar Doimba. He said, the mashal is to a father who's learning with his son, Gemara. And the son doesn't understand so well. So what his father does is that the father teaches his son the pshatel. And he tells the son, he sort of feeds the kid the kasha. And he feeds the son the teretz. And the kid sounds like a real bright kid. He's asking these brilliant questions in the Gemara. He's giving brilliant answers. But the truth of the matter is, it's all for the father. But why does the father care? The father has nachas ruach. He gave his son the question. He helps the son with the answer. And the son gets all the credit. And that's fine. That's what the father wants. He loves the son. Does the father care? He loves to give his son a tip. Somebody else he wouldn't forget. For his own son. He loves doing that. Right. He brings this mashal from his Rebbe. Rebbe Doiver, the great son is Richard Magid. The father wants the spoon feed the son. He loves it. So that's the pshat. Mishloach Manas Ish L'Reyeo. Hashem sent the matana, which is the thought to daven, and because Hashem is called Ish, Hashem Ish Melchama, and we are called Hashem's best friends. We're not stamp sons of the Rabbanu Shalom. We are a son. There's different kinds of sons. There's a son who is the close confidant of his father. And Haman is all midah k'neged midah, because Haman says Yesh Na'am Echad, and he said this nation is sleeping. And their God is sleeping. And their relationship with their God is batel mevutel. They're sleeping, they don't talk to God. God's sleeping, he doesn't talk to the man. But it's not true. The Rebbe Shlomo Shneimo was awake and alive, and the Maisa, there were two things accomplished by the davening of Klal Yisrael. Number one, there was an come against Haman, he was destroyed. And number two, there was a big victory for Klal Yisrael. We were saved and we got even better. And Mordechai became the viceroy, the prime minister. So he says, because Hashem midas ahava, it all starts with Avas Hashem v'Klal Yisrael. Because Hashem loves us, and we're the sons of the Rebbe Shlomo, because He loves us, that's dafka the reason why the Rebbe Shlomo, he loves us, and therefore He hates the guy who hate us. The destruction of the Haman was a pol yotze. It was a teitzah. It was a result of Hashem's love for us. So Hashem really gave us two gifts. He gave us, by davening, by getting us to daven, He gave us the gift of a victory, and a triumph, and a success. Plus the victory, the second gift was to see the destruction of Haman. See the destruction of Haman. So he says, that is why, Mishloach Manais, Ish L'Rieyu, you have to have two things to one friend. He sent two gifts to one friend. Because it's a reminder that God, our best friend, Hashem, who's the Ish, sent us, L'Rieyu, two gifts. The Gemara Taka says that, G'doy L'Maisa Tzadikim, what they do is, they do with two hands. For Tzadikim, Hashem does with two hands. Hashem's Maisim are with one hand. But Maisa Tzadikim says two hands, Mikdash Adonai Kanu Yodecha. Which means to say that a tzaddik, whatever he does, is two-dimensional. His tefillah, number one, is Mayra Avas Hashem V'Klal Yisrael. Number two is Mayra Hashem Sinna for the Goyim who want to attack us. So therefore he says that is the reason for Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rieyu, because Hashem sent us a double gift, the gift of destroying Haman and the gift of our own success. That came from the Ish L'Rieyu, but that's a gift. The fact that Hashem puts good thoughts in our mind is a wonderful, I believe in this very strongly, that everything we do is all the thoughts come from Hashem. And Yerushalayim is to choose to take the gift. Hashem sends His gifts all day long, good things to do, good things to say, good things to learn. And we ignore it. If we accept the gift, then we're wise. That's our Bechira. Our choice is whether we accept the gift or not. So we accept it or not accept it. That is the question. That is the Shaila. So that essentially is the third Kedusha Rabbi Isai. I don't know if we'll get around to the fourth Kedusha, but that is the third. Should all be Zaycha to our Feather and Purim. And the Lustig and Purim, and we should be Zaych, like, who do my sorry if a simple assassin of your car?